Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 147.
This week on the podcast, the first ever Canadian candidate has officially declared his intention to run in the 2016 American presidential race. Canada is finally trying this, guys.
And Hillary Clinton promises that from now on, she'll just tell the press directly if she's going to yoga.
Israel chooses hate over peace, spying over diplomacy, bad polling over good polling. Obama chooses letting them fuck off over actually caring anymore.
And the GOP Congress gets another chance to totally bungle the budget process this week.
Happy birthday to the only five-year-old on Earth you'd actually want to hang out with, Obamacare!
And Floridians are now required to seek medical attention for their belief in climate science and or daring to improve the gene pool.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
Do that.
Do that for sure.
Yeah. We're coming to you midweek.
On Tuesday
again,
now.
Again, Tuesday, right?
Yeah, we just at this point are just rolling with the schedule
whatever thing.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Well, I was skiing this weekend and
Brent
had house guests, and it was a whole thing.
It was a whole to-do.
We thought about doing it last night. It just was, there was no prayer.
It wasn't going to happen. Brent got 3 hours of sleep. I was just generally on a rampage.
Yeah.
Just because.
Rampaging around.
Mm-hmm. Just didn't have the energy.
Yeah. But thank God we didn't record it on Sunday, because we wouldn't have had this news to bring to you people. Because Ted Cruz is running for president,
the man,
which we knew already, but now we
officially
really know.
Announced, he's the first Republican candidate to officially announce. I think the first candidate, full stop, to officially announce, right?
I think officially, right? Yeah.
Because everyone else has just
they
announced
have exploratory
their exploratory committees.
Right.
That's like announcing, but it's not announcing.
Ted Cruz doesn't need all of that nonsense.
He didn't need to explore a thing.
No.
Mm-mm. He just got right up there at the stage at Liberty University and told his adoring fans that had been required to come to the speech as part of their, you know.
Yes, they had to, they literally had to go.
Literally, the entire audience was required to be there.
That's right.
And act like they were having a great time.
Right. Well, it had to look like there were young people there.
Right, because
there wouldn't have been.
There wouldn't have
otherwise.
Been. No, exactly. And so
he's going to have to force those young people to actually vote for him too, somehow or another.
He's not going to achieve that, I don't feel like.
Yeah.
He also apparently had been weighing whether or not he wanted to do his announcement as like a Facebook post.
Yes.
And chose instead to make a big speech at Liberty University.
Right.
Which is typical. But in any case, he was not going for the broad appeal message.
No.
In his announcement. He also, he had a lot of talk about God, unsurprisingly. God blessing America. He said, I believe God isn't done with America yet.
Yeah.
Apparently, other people are trying to sell you on the thought that God is done with America.
Yeah.
Not him.
No.
He's a believer.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
A lot of people have been sort of talking about what it means to have a Republican that is so hated by all the other Republicans running for president.
It's kind of interesting, right?
It's going to be an interesting race, I think.
Right.
As a Republican pollster, Frank Luntz, said, he had the single best soundbite over the last 3 years, saying that the big problem in Washington is that we don't listen. But his colleagues don't really like him, and it's very difficult when your own colleagues won't stand up for you.
So true. Yeah.
Those are the things. And I mean, on the Democratic side, that's sort of the same message. Everyone's sort of curious to see what's going to happen, because currently he's the only person running for president.
Hey.
He's running against himself.
That's right.
Just a man.
I'm sure he could figure out how to lose. If he had to.
He's going to figure that out.
In a race where Ted Cruz is the only candidate, the only real loser is America. Let's be honest.
Well,
Earth, really.
Here's the other thing, is that Ted Cruz as the only candidate in a presidential race is a folly anyway, because Ted Cruz is not legally allowed to be president because he was born in Canada, a place that is not America.
Correct.
The one thing that you need to be president, aside from being old enough, is you have to have been born on U.S. soil.
Right.
That is the rule. I don't make the rules. The Founding Fathers made the rules.
Yeah.
And their rule was not that if you have an American mother, you can be president. Their rule was you have to be born on American soil.
Yep.
Ted Cruz is a man who was born on Canadian soil.
That's right.
And as close as Canada is to America, and as much as they do speak English, they have a public health care system. So we know they're not America.
And they also speak French. And those people cannot be trusted at all.
At all. But, so in any case, Ted Cruz is as the only current person running in the presidential race is folly.
Yeah,
That's not a legit candidacy.
I do see a world where he could be sort of like the last person besides whoever is actually going to be the nominee.
Sort of the Rick Santorum.
The Rick Santorum, the Mike Huckabee.
The Mike
Huckabee.
He was
of 2008, you know, Rick Santorum, like you said.
Well, he is going with the Mike Huckabee I mean, he's basically trying to be the Mike Huckabee of this race. He has been stealing this "To America's" line that John Edwards was using in the Democratic race for years. Yeah. For a while now, he's basically being the economic populist in that in the race that is currently just against him.
Right.
Uh-huh. But I mean, that's alarming and hilarious. It's both of those things. But that I mean, that was Huckabee's stance. That's why that's why we tolerate Huckabee in a way that we don't tolerate anyone else. But I'm excited because Ted Cruz brings drama.
He does.
He brings drama and filibusters everywhere he goes.
Government shutdowns.
He can bring a shutdown. He can do a 21-hour filibuster that is not actually filibustering anything, but it's just a 21-hour speech during which he reads some Dr. Seuss.
That's right. He read Green Eggs and Ham. Yeah. So good. Yeah.
Oh, and now I'm hitting the microphone. I got excited. I got excited about that one.
Yeah,
And then he also criticized the politicians for having politicians in cheap suits and bad haircuts during that speech. Remember that?
Oh, yeah,
So, in any case, exciting times ahead, guys.
Totally.
Also exciting times for Ted Cruz's online presence. Because Ted Cruz is a politician who did not think years ago or recently to buy TedCruz.com.
I mean, come on.
That's the first thing.
Well, we already know from a lot of his quotes about net neutrality that he doesn't understand the internet.
No.
So we should not be shocked that he didn't own TedCruz.com because he's not a man who...
I own LilaNordstrom.com. Yeah. It's not that hard to own your name.com. People are doing that.
Yeah, do that.
Just, like, guys, if you are out there listening to this podcast and you don't currently own the domain name of your own name, just go buy it.
But the person who does own it geniusly just put up a message that day that said, "Support President Obama, immigration reform now." That was the landing page for TedCruz.com. Yeah.
And this guy has owned it for a while. This is not the first time that he's done these political messages at TedCruz.com. Like, TedCruz.com is a pro-Obama website.
Like, just buy it from this person. Like, this person obviously has a price. Everybody has a price.
Here's what I hope, is that this person does not have a price. I hope that this person is just, like, sitting around, loving how hilarious they are, and just moving on with their life.
Yeah.
Because this is a dream come true
in
every possible way.
I agree.
This is the Dan Savage Santorum definition of this election.
Yeah, it is.
So, in any case, Ted Cruz, a man who maybe isn't qualified to speak in front of young people about running for president because he doesn't understand the most basic thing that you need to run for president,
which
is your own domain
name. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Last week.
He's recently been like a toddler terrorist.
Children of all ages.
No, to be afraid of him. He's got crazy eyes. I would be afraid of him. I'm afraid of him and I'm an adult.
Yeah.
I don't need to be afraid of him, but I am.
Yeah, he's terrifying.
Exactly. Another person who is... talking about forming
crazy eyes, more crazy hair.
Yes, this is crazy. This is the crazy hair entry. Donald Trump, who, by the way, I had forgotten, he's officially forming an exploratory committee right now.
This is as close as he's ever teased us.
Well, he formed an exploratory committee in 1999.
Oh God!
And has basically run in every election and not run in every election at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
Ever since, because I can't remember a time when we weren't talking about Donald Trump running for president.
Right.
We talk about it every time there's a presidential election. I know. But apparently Donald Trump is serious this time.
Really serious.
Not kidding around.
Yeah.
He said that he's the only one who can make America truly great again.
Interesting.
That's a curious claim.
I'd like to hear those plans.
I don't want to hear those plans. Yeah. I don't think the plans are plans. Yeah. I think that the plans are like glib TV lines for his next reality show.
I agree. But the poll numbers for him aren't great.
They're not great. Because even of his own people,
right,
74% of the GOP primary voters earlier this month said that they could not see themselves supporting him for president. That's according to NBC News and Wall Street Journal, a Wall Street Journal poll. So
it's a lot of people.
That wasn't even...
It's three out of four of the people.
That's three out of four of the people. That's not enough to win a race.
It's not.
I know very little about math, but I do know...
It's
about
not do it for you.
Simple, you know, fractions.
That's right.
And that's not going to get you a majority.
Nope.
Tis
not.
Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton, now that she's about to kickstart her race, because she's about to declare.
Just would like to forget about everything that has happened up until now in life.
In life, yes.
Basically.
She wants to start again with the press.
I see.
You know.
Yeah.
You know how that is.
Well, they hate her, and she's done things to make them hate her.
Exactly. So I, too, think that in that situation, I'd like to start again, but that's not how it works.
I was going to say, I have really pissed some people off in the past. And
I can't unpiss them off.
That's it.
You can't uncook a chicken.
You did it.
That's the folksy saying I've been trying to start for a long time now. For years, I've been trying to start.
I have a dirtier version of that I like to say sometimes.
Which
that
is?
I won't now.
No, you won't.
Okay.
Just say it. Do we have a sponsor that we're afraid of?
You can't unsuck a dick.
Oh.
Same principle.
Same principle. Mine is like the children's version.
Right.
In any case, Hillary Clinton can't uncook this chicken.
She can't.
The press hates her. That's life. She was at a dinner in honor of a Washington Post correspondent and gave a speech where she said she wanted a new relationship with the press, acknowledging that her, quote, relationship with the press has been at times, shall we say, complicated. Mm-hmm. That's like Facebook language for shitty.
Then she went on and she said she was all about new beginnings right now. A new grandchild, a new hairstyle, a new email account, a new relationship with the press. No more secrecy, no more zone of privacy. After all, what good did that do for me? Well, I don't know. We would have asked you this before you went into your, you know, on your secrecy.
Right.
You know,
right, like, before you built your right, your own server home server. Chappaqua. Yeah.
But this is the thing. This is what you, I mean, I don't even know.
This is
the
problem.
This is the problem, and it's like, it's beating a dead horse, but you and I talked about it last week with the whole thing where she, with the UN thing. It's like, she's just not thinking.
She's not good with the press. She has baggage with the press. She doesn't prepare for things.
And that's the thing. That's what I want from her. Like, I understand. If she wants to, like, try and move past the baggage, then, like, that is fine. I get that. But it's like, you can't, if you continue to just fuck it up.
Yeah.
Which is what your current plan is.
Yeah.
So they're not going to give you a pass if you start...
Continue to fuck them over by having press conferences at the UN that they can't get into.
And have to wait hours in line and not move forward because
Here's
you didn't inform them
the
in time.
The thing about people, Hillary Clinton. Not just the press, but I think all people generally don't like to wait in lines.
It's so true.
If you can do anything as a presidential candidate, I would say that...
Let's keep the line moving.
Keep the line moving.
That's it.
Exactly. We just solved it for you. Right. It's so simple. It's such a simple principle. Mm-hmm. People hate waiting in line.
Nobody likes it.
And they won't wait in line for you if you are not worth waiting in line for.
That's right.
Obama was worth waiting in line for a lot of people. That is why a lot of people voted for him.
Yeah.
There were people who were waiting 6 hours in line to vote for him in places where they were trying to disenfranchise black people. And so they were holding the line up and they had like one voting booth available and like everyone was having, the whole town was having to stand in line.
Yeah.
People were waiting in that line because he was worth waiting in line for.
You have to be.
You have to be worth waiting in line for.
Yeah.
There was also, did you see on the liberal interwebs, the special...
Probably. I probably did.
Liberal internet that I go to. Uh-huh. That there was a lot of discussion this week because somebody had written like some ranty crazy article about how if we don't support Hillary Clinton, then we're going to ruin the Supreme Court.
Then all 8 Supreme Court justices are going to get replaced under a Republican. Yeah. I mean, I'm being dramatic, but yes, I saw this, of course. Yes.
My mom got into it with someone on Facebook about this. This is like, she was like, there are 1 trillion other Democrats that I would support for president. I would support Kirsten Gillibrand for president. I would support Amy Klobuchar for president. I would support all these people for president. Like, we don't need to pretend like there's no other people.
Exactly.
She was literally like, there are 300 million other people.
Yeah.
All of those people. That's so many people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of things.
It's a lot of people.
So, in any case, that was a side liberal internet battle that was raging this week.
And on some level, like, I get that. But I feel like every 4 years we get that,
Every 4 years.
That's sort of like...
And also, those fuckers live forever.
I was going to say.
Every 4 years, we're replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I know.
She's still there.
She's going to be there until the end of time.
Yeah. That's...
We're going to be talking about who's going to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like, going into the 2024 election.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can't vote on the basis of how the Supreme Court justices...
It's not the way to do it.
That's not how you do it.
No.
That's not it.
Not the plan.
In any case, in other election news, Chris Van Hollen, as we know, is running for Mikulski's open Senate seat.
Right.
So he is going to be leaving the House.
Yes.
And he was apparently Nancy Pelosi's sort of like chosen successor.
Mm.
So now there's like suddenly a big sort of like a lot of underground shuffling going on in the House. Because suddenly there's basically like an open successor seat.
Oh my.
And there's a lot of names and it's exciting.
That is very exciting.
And it's also, I mean, in this case, like, you know, the reason that Nancy Pelosi gets to do this is because she raises like 1 trillion times more millions of dollars than anyone else in there.
Yeah.
She literally, in the last cycle, she raised $67 million for the DCCC. The next sort of biggest fundraiser was Steve Israel, and he raised like $18 million.
That's
lame.
Not cutting it.
It's not cutting it.
No.
He's someone that gets talked about a lot as a potential successor, but he's like really in her camp, and like kind of because of that, I think they want kind of a change of leadership of some sort. I don't think they want to just keep.
Here's the thing. Is Nancy Pelosi the Ruth Bader Ginsburg of the House of Representatives?
I wondered that as well.
Like, should we really be worried about who her successor is? Because Chris Van Hollen is a fairly young guy.
I know.
And I mean, Nancy Pelosi may be, you know, our, the Speaker of the House or whatever, you know,
Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. She is the Speaker of the House, even now. If she's not the
Speaker
of the House.
That's why I was struggling to remember what to call her, because I just assume that that's what she is,
she functions as it,
yes.
I think the reason that this is sort of, like, so exciting for everyone is because the majority whip, Steny Hoyer, is, like, 75 years old and probably not going to try to succeed her as the Speaker. So there's sort of, like, suddenly an open seat for a much younger member.
Right.
Who's sort of, like, new and exciting.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And the Democrats are, like, trying to be new and exciting,
yeah, I'm into
I
that.
Hope, because mm-hmm. that's what people want.
Yeah.
So there, and a lot of the, because of that, a lot of these names are coming out of the Congressional Black Caucus. Lot of these names are coming out of the young, like, the sort of younger, newer, hipper members of the House.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. So Steve Israel is someone that people are talking about.
I get too many emails from Steve Israel.
Steve Israel, one of the things that they're saying he would have to answer for is why, when he was in charge of the DCCC and sending us so many fucking emails, he managed to lose the House, like, a trillion times. He's not a man who can be trusted to lead the House.
Apparently not.
He can't even get people into the House. In any case, they're talking about Joe Crowley, who is a New York congressperson who originally came in and seemed kind of moderate and is now trying to sort of liberal himself up because he is in the Congressional Black Caucus. He's looking for, you know, sort of support from the Congressional Black Caucus. And he's raised a lot of money for tight races. So that's a good sign because people love a money raiser.
Right.
There's Kristen Sinema. Is that how you say her name? Nobody knows.
Certainly don't know.
She's the one who got elected as the first bisexual member of Congress, but she's also an asshole. So that's a problem with her.
Yeah.
So she's, like, hip because she's bisexual. This is, like, getting ridiculous, by the way.
Come on.
First bisexual member of... She's not the first gay member of the House.
No.
She's the first bisexual member.
Yeah.
That's... That's being the first four on the Kinsey scale in the House. Like, that's, at a certain point, we can stop counting.
I don't know if I want her to be the leader. I don't trust her to make a damn decision. All right?
But she she has gone up against Pelosi on a bunch of things and been just sort of like a thorn in everyone's side because she wanted to delay parts of Obamacare. She was part of that camp.
She's out. I don't like her.
I don't like her. She's
crossed her off the list.
Yeah. Terry Sewell, who is another Congressional Black Caucus member who is friendly with Nancy Pelosi, but also liked by the Congressional Black Caucus leadership. This article, by the way, made it sound like the Congressional Black Caucus is deciding who the next speaker is. And I was like, let's do that.
Well, I know, right?
They have historically made better decisions than the House as a whole, or the Democrats as a whole.
Yeah, I agree.
They can be trusted, if anyone can be trusted, to deliver us the right person.
Well, and the thing that I think that we often sort of we too often pick a person to lead the party who we assume that is going to be a good person who will be able to work with the other party when the other party is not a party that can be worked with.
Yeah.
So this is how we ended up with Harry Reid, who was a sort of, he is a moderate. He has, he's pro-life at least sort of, vaguely. Anyway. And, we sort of I think a lot of people felt like that was a good idea because he's like, oh, he's from Nevada and he'll be able to sort of
he understands how they think.
But that's just not reality.
They're also not.
Pick whoever you like that is going to be good, and don't try and pick politically kind of she sort of is a moderate and so she'll be able to speak to all sides of the block, and that's just not how the world works.
That's what we do with the presidency a lot of the time, and I also don't even think it's a good strategy there, even though you have to win in general. I think your base wins you an election, and your base is what earns you money, and your base is what gets excited about what's going on and gets everyone else excited.
Yeah.
And so pick someone your base likes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's who voted you in.
Yeah, it's why we didn't end up with a President John Kerry.
Exactly. So true. And Elijah Cummings is another person that gets talked about a lot. I think he would be great because he's he's good at the pundit circuit. So I feel like he would be good at the crazy deal with Boehner circuit.
Yeah, he's good.
And then, they talk about Steny Hoyer. He's, like we said, he's 75.
It's not happening for him.
Not happening. But he has been trying to kind of mentor younger members a bit and kind of pull them up to kind of promote them to leadership positions or mini leadership positions.
I like that. That's good.
So, like, he's got Joaquin Castro. He's got a couple of the gals that we just mentioned that he's made deputy whips. And then he got Denny Heck, who has a hilarious name.
Sure does.
Made him the recruitment chairman for the DCCC to kind of pull him into the leadership
nice.
Mix. So he's been, I think he knows that he's not going to be the next majority leader. He's been the majority leader before, I think so.
Oh, I think he actually has.
He was for three years, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But that's not really his future. So there really is sort of like this open seat now.
Yeah.
It's not a seat. No. It's not going to happen. Nancy Pelosi's going to die there. But
there's a
potential opening in some vague point in the future that sounds like it's going to involve a lot of shuffling and posturing and all the things that we love.
Those are the best things.
Those are all the things you want in the House.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile,
oh my God.
Are there any actual Democrats in Florida?
Where are they?
Like, this is crazy. How many former Republicans do they need to be running in the Democratic Party in Florida in order to have people in their elections?
It doesn't work, Patrick Murphy.
We
just proved
Charlie Crist is not the governor of Florida because
he's a Republican.
Because he's a Republican.
And he was running against a Republican. So they just picked the actual Republican.
Exactly. Like,
and then that's what happened.
Exactly. That's the solution.
That's what's about to happen to Patrick Murphy, who is declared
he's going to try to challenge Marco Rubio.
Right. He's a former Republican.
Right.
He changed parties after
the Iraq War.
Which, good on him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do it.
No. Yeah.
But don't be the guy who's challenging the other guy. And, like, don't be the challenger when you're not actually the Democrat. Find a Democrat somewhere in Florida, guys.
Also, especially in an election year.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I sort of like, on some level, maybe kind of get it in an off year because it's sort of like, maybe you can...
Trick everyone.
On some level, like, that's basically what you're doing. But it's like, it's going to be 2016. You're going to have huge turnout. You know, we've been sending the electoral votes from Florida to the Democrats at least the last two Obama cycles. Like, get a Democrat in there who's worth a damn.
Just find a Democrat. They have Democrats
there.
There is, like, a sizable Democratic population there because of all those old Jewish people. Old Jews are not voting for Republicans unless they're actually terrible.
Right.
Unless they are terrible people. They're not voting for... That's not what old Jews do.
No.
So it's not... You know, I feel like we forget because there's so many weird people in Florida that you forget about... You forget that there's Democrats there because you hear from so many crazy Republicans and so much crazy shit's going on in Florida that you can't even know. And you've got the Miami Cubans and they're crazy. And, like,
The white supremacists.
The white supremacists in the northern part of the state. They're crazy.
Yeah.
There's old Jews everywhere. They're just all over the place.
Yep.
They're going to vote for a Democrat.
They can elect you.
Mm-hmm. Find an actual Democrat because they're not going to give a shit about Patrick Murphy.
Ugh.
He's a nobody.
Total nobody.
In any case, Florida,
pull
your shit together.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
oh boy.
Speaking of elections, we warned you.
This was a doozy.
That there was going to be an election in Israel.
Yes.
A country we don't live in.
We also warned you that the polls were very close.
Right.
They were wrong.
It turns out no one knows how to poll in Israel.
That's right.
Turns out math is not the strong suit of the pollsters in Israel.
No. It wasn't really that close.
It wasn't that close. Netanyahu, still in our lives.
He's still in our lives.
Will continue to be in our lives.
And the way that he ended up winning, and we didn't really talk about this last week because we didn't care.
Right.
But now we care. Because
now we care.
It's a disaster.
Yeah.
But he really pushed hard right in the days leading up to it.
We talked a little bit about that last week. We just, because it had just started, we just mentioned it because we recorded on the day of the election.
Oh, that's right. And he talked about, like, how the other side was, like, trying to get, like, you know, like, the Arabs in.
Right, they were working with the Arabs.
Working with it to bring them in to all vote for the other, you know, the opposition. And also...
If you have Arab people that are citizens of Israel and want to vote, they also get to vote.
That's right.
They make up 20% of the population. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like people claiming that we're rounding up black people to vote.
That's what I was going to say. I mean...
We've heard that claim here.
We've heard that just from Mitt Romney. When Mitt Romney called Obama to... you know, congratulate him or to concede, he's like made some note about like all of the counties that he did like a good job of getting people out to vote in, which were all like, you know, like black counties in Ohio, basically. It's sort of like, it's the same
principle.
But anyway, and he also said leading up to the election that he, under his watch, there was not going to be a two-state
solution. He walked back his support of a two-state solution. Because in 2009, he'd been on the record as saying that he supported a two-state solution.
And then as soon as he won, he walked back saying that he didn't want a two-state solution.
Well, he had to.
Yeah.
Literally no person on earth doesn't want a two-state solution. What that solution is, nobody knows. But you can't say you don't want a two-state solution. That's like saying that you hate Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That's not a thing that you can say.
Yeah.
That was an odd reference for me to make in an Israel story, but Santa Claus, it's, you know, what are you going to...
Whatever.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
In any case, what remains up in the air now is who they will choose to caucus with, because his party won 29 seats, the sort of center-left Zionist Union Party won 24. You need 61 seats to have a majority in the parliament there, and so...
And in Israel, there's like 76 parties.
Right. Basically. And it's like a coalition government thing that ends up forming, where you have to form your coalition and then announce your coalition. And then you get to do whatever you want to do. And it's like, aside from those two, there's like 1 trillion other parties. And the only other party that has like a truly sizable number of seats is the Joint Arab List, which is a party that joined all of the Arab parties together and got 14 seats. So and that's huge. That has never happened before. That's a huge result for the Arab parties that used to all be different parties, and that's why they didn't get that many seats. So
they could be kingmaker.
Well, people are saying like this really will be the first time they have like a seat at the table,
right?
Because that's too many people for them to not negotiate with.
Yeah.
They think that probably there's another party that's led by a former member of Netanyahu's party that is a far-right party that they'll probably... I'm using all American words to describe what's going on here, because I hate saying all of the words that have to do with the Israeli parliament, because I can never pronounce them correctly.
Yeah.
But, so, in any case, they have to announce their coalition within the next 42 days, and then, you know, then we'll... They have to decide whether they want to go far-right or try to do a coalition thing with the left, and... Netanyahu has sort of been like, we don't have enough in common to do a coalition thing with like that center left party that is in second place. But I mean, if they only ally like a bunch of crazy far right people, they're going to have, it's going to be like the Republicans in the House. They're just they're going to have like crazy wings that won't allow them to get anything done, which is a problem that they have historically faced before. So, in any case, turnout, much better than the turnout that we see here.
I was just about to say, wouldn't it be nice if 72% of eligible voters here in America voted?
Yeah.
It would be Democrats for life.
It would be Democrats for days and years. Yeah, it would just be like, it would just be a dream.
Yeah.
I just lost in thought about that dream.
Yep.
But so, in any case, not looking good for what's going on in the Middle East. It's certainly not looking good for any kind of peace process, especially because... We just found out also, Israel has been spying on our peace process with Iran. Now, that's not the reason everyone's pissed off. Because it turns out that we're spying on them, and they're spying on us, and we all spy on each other all the time.
Well, we have talked about this before, when we were talking about, like, I think it was back when
the Snowden,
and we were like, we found out that we were like,
spying on German spies,
Merkel's, you know, whatever, and like, it's like, we sort of basically decided that everybody was probably spying on everybody.
And this includes allies spying on allies.
Yeah.
But Israel apparently is the ally that we expend the most in intelligence resources to fend off, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Because we also, like, financially support the country. Yes. Like, we are paying for them to be a country. We should get to vote there, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Our tax dollars are paying for whatever shit's going on over there.
We should also get to tell them to stop fucking spying on us, too. I know.
But so, they were spying on our negotiations with Iran. Not surprising. Everyone sort of expected that.
Yeah.
The White House is really pissed, though, because they were using information they were gathering in their spying endeavors to try to turn members of the U.S. Congress against the president.
Shocker.
In his efforts to make a peace deal with Iran. Or make a nuclear, you know, disarmament deal with Iran. So, they were basically, I mean, they were doing something that, were they actually Americans, would be kind of treasonous.
Yeah.
But since we just pay for them to exist and they're not Americans, it's just evil sort of Soviet era crazy spy shenanigans.
Right.
Yeah.
If somebody else was doing this, then we'd be threatening them.
I'm not shocked if Russia's up to those kinds of things.
Exactly.
We're not friendly with Russia.
Right.
We tolerate them, but we're not friendly with them. But the Obama administration is really pissed about this because
he has been sort of in the last week. I mean, since he said that he didn't want a two-state solution, like, the relationship between those two is
falling
not good
apart
right now.
And I mean, there is a huge difference between Israel spying just to sort of keep an eye on things and Israel spying with the intention of trying to alter the course of U.S. politics.
Right.
Like, that is a very different thing. And that's an enemy move. That's not
totally.
That's not an ally move.
Yeah, exactly.
So in any case, Israel denies everything and says that they've just been talking to Europeans and the Europeans are telling them more than we are. Mm-hmm. That's bullshit.
Well, we found out they were doing this while we were spying on them.
The reason that we know that they were doing this is because we were spying on them and they had access to documents that they should not have had access to.
Yeah.
That our spies knew were classified.
Totally.
So, and we had been giving them briefings on what was going on with this peace process, but then they decided that we weren't like briefing them enough and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
In any case, their ambassador here has been like lobbying Congress hardcore to try to like, can Congress actually, like, unratify a treaty? Because, remember, the Senate seems to think they can do this, but they
can't.
We
talked about this, right.
We talked about this already. Yeah. They're basically lobbying Congress to try to veto this treaty, this deal with Iran. Which is wild to me.
Yeah.
Totally wild. But in any case, they've had some unexpected pushback because they kind of overshot the boundaries a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they expected Democrats to kind of get as pissed off as they got about his speech here and also about the way that they've been trying to turn everyone against the president.
Yeah.
These have been lobbying sessions that have been very much about like calling the president a liar and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so the
you
Democrats
think that's going to piss off his party.
Right, the Democrats are not having it. And so now they don't have a filibuster proof majority.
No, they don't.
And even a veto, you know, proof majority in either chamber at this point for whatever thing they were going to try, whatever legislation they were going to try to advance that was going to stop us from having a deal with Iran.
Yeah.
But it was largely because they pissed off all the Democrats. And now they're trying to throw a wrench into our plans in other ways by like getting the French involved. They were like trying to get the French to do something in the meeting that was going to like up to shenanigans. But a U.S. official said something that I think was sort of like a historically like game-changing thing.
Yeah.
He said, if you're wondering whether something serious has shifted here, the answer is yes. These things leave scars.
Yikes.
That's the first time I can recall anyone speaking about how Israel's always outrageous behavior is causing permanent changes to our relationship with them.
Yeah.
So in any case, don't re-elect Netanyahu, guys.
That was not the
That
right
wasn't
idea.
The right move. That was the wrong answer. There was a right answer, and you didn't pick
it. Didn't get it.
It was like a multiple choice exam where there was like a yes and no question. Like it was so easy.
You had a 50-50 shot.
You had a 50-50 shot. It was so easy.
Yeah.
But this, I also feel like if you're Netanyahu, like, you've done this before. You know how people are.
Come on.
Like, is this really your plan?
It is.
This can't be your plan. I mean, it is your plan. It's his plan. I don't think he's that smart a man. I've just realized.
Well, you would think.
I thought he was an evil man, but maybe a smart man before. I think he might not be that smart.
I think he thinks.
This is crazy.
And I think what he actually thinks, and whether this makes him stupid or not, who can decide?
We'll
let you decide. But I mean, I think that he just thinks that he has more power than he does, I think.
Yeah. I think that's because historically, for unknown reasons, he really has when it comes to the U.S., you know, with like sort of U.S., the U.S.'s relationship with itself.
Right.
You know,
right.
He has been able to act as that kind of like weird wedge before very successfully here.
Yeah.
For reasons I've never quite understood that have a lot to do with
Obama's just not
a lot
it.
Of shady lobbying nonsense that goes on behind the scenes. And Obama is just like he's not Hillary Clinton.
Right.
You know, he's not under Hillary Clinton. We would be like trying to.
Of course.
We would first of all be telling Iran to go fuck themselves. But we would.
I was
going to
say we would be bombing Iran.
We would. Currently. Yeah. We would be at war right now.
Yeah.
But we would also just
which would
like
make them happy.
Right.
So he and Hillary would be besties. Right
well, they
now.
Are besties. Well, I mean, that's one of the things that I think everyone sort of expects to be part of the discussion, especially like if this is how our relationship with Israel is changing now. When, you know, when someone like Hillary Clinton tries to explain what their position is on all these issues that are going on in the Middle East, it's going to have to be go to war because she.
Well, I read something.
She can't go up against them because she is really in bed with this Israel lobby.
I was going to say, well, I read something that, you know, she really wants to avoid talking about this because
she will have to sound
because if she actually states what she thinks, it will really sound like she's trying to undermine the president of her own party right now because
she's wildly pro-Israel in a very old-fashioned way and that is why that this issue has been such a sticking point here for so long and that is why Netanyahu is acting the way that he's acting now is because he's not used to getting this kind of pushback.
Yeah.
With, like, people who are trying to be reasonable. And so, I mean, it's sort of an interesting situation. It'll be interesting to see how it shifts during the election.
Yeah.
Because I wonder if they, if Netanyahu suddenly now has, like, a vested interest in the outcome of the U.S. election. Like, I don't even want to know what's going to happen. It'd be chaos.
Yeah. Well, if it's Hillary and a bunch of Republicans, they're all going to be pro-Israel. That's true.
He's got nothing to lose then.
Right. He's looking...
So he's all set.
He's looking good.
He's looking
right now.
Real rosy. Yeah. Maybe, so maybe he doesn't care about pissing off Obama.
Oh, yeah?
It's like his long game doesn't get affected by that.
No. He's just, only got to... just got to wait it out another couple of years.
Yeah. And then he's just like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
In any case, this is a big week for Congress.
Here we go. Because Republicans get another shot to not fuck something up. They've been saying they're going to govern. They know how to govern. They just need both chambers. They've got it. They've been fucking it up ever since January when they took over. They've got another shot this week,
that's
guys.
That's right. The budget discussion has started.
That's right.
We are going to talk budget.
Let's do it.
So, there is a budget resolution.
Right.
There's one in the House and there's one in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are evil. Both of them include things like, well, they all include repealing Obamacare, obviously. The first thing that you'd want to do.
Yeah.
But they also include... you know, cutting spending on everything and turning Medicare into a voucher program and turning food stamps into a voucher program and turning any social program into a voucher program.
Yeah. All of that.
So in any case, on the House side, they also have a bipartisan compromise that has to do with, there's been this issue with how they're going to pay doctors under Medicare, like how those payments, you know, happen, how they change over time.
Right.
And so... him and Boehner and Nancy Pelosi have struck some sort of deal.
What?
That they are expecting to vote on in a bipartisan-ish manner.
Right. Well, that's because he needs her.
Right. He can't strike a deal without her. No. So with her.
He can't strike a deal with his own party.
Exactly.
So he's got to bring Nancy.
Well, and so the problem that they're having now is that with these budget resolutions, as much as the budget resolutions are not going to get a single vote from a Democrat because they all repeal Obamacare.
Yep.
The budget resolutions are also getting pushback from people on the far right who don't think they have enough defense spending in them.
Oh, boy.
So they've got some work on their hands.
They really do.
Because if Boehner and McConnell both get these budgets passed, they will have... I mean, they're not going to succeed at repealing Obamacare,
right.
But they will have voted successfully together to do that, which will be fun for them. Mm-hmm. They'll finally get to say they did that for the 800th time.
I mean, Boehner's been doing it for years.
Exactly. But McConnell has not had this opportunity before. This could
be very exciting
for him.
Yeah.
And then, but it also means that if they are able to get some sort of budget approved, then they might be able to, like, pass appropriations bills that would, like, fund the government. Which is a novel
concept.
That
would be something.
That I feel like everyone except Mr. Ted Cruz could get behind.
Yeah.
But, so they have some things that they're up against. One is that, well, for this Medicare thing was supposed to be this big victory because it was going to show that they could vote on things.
Right.
But the left is not really having it because they don't, I think mostly because they don't want to be seen as participating, you know, it's not a perfect bill. They don't want to be seen as participating in sort of like watering down a bill like this that has to do with healthcare.
Yeah.
And a lot of abortion rights groups are worried that it will undermine them because they're in the middle of that battle over the sex trafficking bill that randomly is an anti-abortion bill also.
Sure.
But they have a time limit because they're about to go on a 2-week Easter recess.
Oh boy.
2 weeks for Easter?
Come on.
I get a half day for Easter.
Easter is 3 days,
by
the way.
Yeah, it's not more.
Well, Easter is one day.
Easter, the holiday, is a single day. You get a day off for Easter.
And it's a weekend.
It's a weekend.
It's a Sunday.
Yeah,
if you want to take Good Friday off, then go for it.
Right, that's your right as a person to take any day off that you need to take off for whatever reason. Two weeks, though. That's wild.
Yeah.
In any case, they want to get something passed before the Easter recess.
Won't happen.
Which won't happen, because they want to show that this DHS nonsense was just a fluke.
That's right.
But, like we said, they have a bunch of... There's a lot of pushback about the defense spending in the House and the Senate, because McCain is also not having it in Senate. And then there's also... there's this running for president caucus that's emerging of all the people that might run for president.
I love it.
And none of them want to have to support spending increases. So,
none of them... You can't win a primary if you've had spending.
So, you've got the people who are pushing for more spending on the defense side, and the people who are pushing for no spending battling it out. You have Democrats who are like, fuck you guys. Stop repealing Obamacare, you assholes.
Right.
You have a very slim majority in the Senate that is not, I mean, obviously they would never be able to override a veto or anything like that.
No, of course not. But, and if it's a if the bill has repealing Obamacare, right, then they would have to override the veto. Right. So they're still going to be back
Square one anyway. It's useless. But it does, it would give them sort of like a victory that they could say, you know, that they could point to say they had done some governing before Easter. But there's, it's complicated. There's a lot of, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And if I know them, and I do, I think.
I think you do.
I don't think that they will be able to pull all those things together.
They've had trouble pulling anything much less together.
That's so true.
Okay.
So true.
I could see this
doctor's payments Medicare thing.
Sure, sounds like they maybe already got that
locked
down. That sounds
like that could be totally a success.
Done.
Sounds like a very unimportant bill.
A lot of other boxes to check before Easter. Easter is next week, guys.
Right. This is the week. This is what they have. This is all they have.
Yeah.
So we hopefully won't have any sort of like big showdown because it's, you know, they don't want to go the shutdown route again because that was so embarrassing. Although they claimed that and then they did this DHS shutdown route. So like who even knows what route they're trying to go anymore?
They don't know.
But they don't want to go the shutdown route on the budget thing because that was wildly unpopular. However, they also don't want to take things out of the budget bills that are irrelevant to the budget. And because also a lot of these bills, this is an interesting thing that's going on. They're all repealing Obamacare, but many of them are including tax revenue that they're getting from Obamacare in their budgets.
Okay, guys.
Like, you can't have both.
No, you can't.
So they're claiming that Obamacare is running like a deficit, but then they're also using money that is being
coming from like Obamacare taxes
on, you know, as part of their budget, as part of their operating budget. So like I just have
math guys.
They're the people who were trying to tell us that if you're gonna pass a new bill you have to find a way to offset the cost. Like that's their rule.
Yeah,
you can't just decide which parts of a bill you're gonna ignore.
No,
the cost of repeal, it's crazy.
You can't do it.
It's making me too furious for words. A very important thing happened this week.
This was your favorite thing this week.
This is my favorite thing that happened this week. Brent was in a car when I found out about this, like a jerk.
I know.
Like a person who doesn't care about people.
Because you texted me immediately.
Immediately.
One of our other friends posted it on my Facebook wall.
Like everyone immediately tried to contact Brent and he was nowhere to be found.
I know.
It was tragic. A totally like non-political friend of mine, by the way, was the one who IM'd this to me. Like a person who like might, normally IMs me like other kinds of listicles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was like, I knew that I immediately had to send this to you. And I was like, I immediately have to send it to Brent. And I had to immediately make sure that Grant, our other friend who's been on the podcast, knew about it. Like, there are people that you have to tell in these situations. Because what happened this week was that the House Judiciary Committee posted like a BuzzFeed-style listicle called, as a press release, called At the Flick of a Switch, where they talk about the president's immigration reform plans.
And it was complete with like, with GIFs from, like, movies and TV shows and, like...
Of, like, Jennifer Lawrence and, like, people from Pitch Perfect and, like, the cast of Community.
Yeah, they have, like, Aka Excuse Me on there from Pitch Perfect. I just watched Pitch Perfect this weekend, by the way.
I'm not surprised to hear that on a gay ski weekend you guys watched Pitch Perfect.
What? you don't know my life.
I know your life so well.
Yeah.
So well.
That's what we watched.
Yeah, of course you did. Okay. In any case, personal observation of mine from this listicle, aside from the fact that I'm very disturbed by this turn of events, was that almost all of the GIFs, I'm calling them GIFs. I know you just call them GIFs. I can't abide by that.
We had a long discussion about this last night and ultimately settled on GIF based on no information. Anyway.
All of the GIFs are of white people and almost all of those people are blonde females.
Well, it's because
It's like the most Aryan listicle I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, because it was against immigration. Right. But so, of course, there couldn't be brown people in it.
Was that by design? They were like, This is America as we see it. Yes. It's all blonde women and Steve Carell.
That's right.
That's it.
Yep.
And so it was like disturbing on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
Then that was not the only listicle.
No, they did it again.
That got posted this week because John Boehner on his speaker website posted another listicle that has to do with how he hates community college or something. He didn't want the he hates the president's plan to try to send everyone to community college because screw education.
Yeah, right.
And so he had a Taylor Swift listicle to explain his thoughts on that.
No.
And all of them were Taylor Swift puns. I don't want to think about John Boehner even knowing who Taylor Swift is or having laid eyes on her
God.
Before, like, just ever.
So upsetting.
It was things like, Still, $60 billion is a lot of money. You can't just shake it off.
Okay.
Or like, not even all the Taylor Swift album sales in the world would cover that bill. Like, go fuck yourselves.
It's not, Taylor Swift fans are not reading this.
No!
Like, don't kid yourself. No,
do not kid yourselves at all.
Oh my God.
But also, don't have a fully Taylor Swift-themed...
You can't.
...press release as the Speaker of the House.
No, you can't do it.
Those worlds should not cross.
Nope.
That's not it.
Mm-mm.
Like, if you are trying to reach the BuzzFeed population...
Yeah.
...post something on BuzzFeed. Don't put it on your own website...
Yeah.
...and have it be about how immigration reform and community college plans are terrible.
God.
Because community college costs money. Like, that's... First of all, insulting to the demographic that would actually read this, because they are the ones who are trying to go to community college.
Exactly.
But also, it's just a nightmare. The whole thing is a nightmare. It's everything I never wanted to think of the Republicans even knowing about.
He's an idiot.
These are people who don't understand anything about the internet.
That's right.
Like, this is like the series of Tubes caucus. Like,
totally.
Like, I just, some stupid upstart staffer thought of this, and they were like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, Taylor Swift, she's hot right now.
Yeah, yeah.
God.
Hatred. No. In other news, guys, it finally happened this week. Aaron Schock resigned.
He's gone. That happened so fast.
Guys. So fast. Well, and Politico, I love the Politico article about it, is like, talks about how the real thing was that they were the whistleblower on, he had been lying about his mileage reports.
Yeah.
He was getting reimbursed. Well, here's what happened. He was doing what every production assistant in history has ever done. And... claiming he was driving more miles in his personal vehicle for work than he actually was driving in the personal vehicle, period. So, Politico blows the whistle on that. But this is after, like, weeks and weeks of everyone knowing he's up to shenanigans.
Right.
So, like, Politico didn't find something new and exciting.
No.
And then he resigns, and Politico was like, see, 12 hours after we posted that, he resigned. I was like, that's not what it was, guys.
That's not what happened.
No. But that was a story that broke this week, which was that he had been inflating his mileage.
Yeah.
And he then had to pay it all back.
And I see there may be federal charges against him, too, I saw today, which I think is ultimately why he resigned.
That's why you would resign, I feel like, in real life.
So who knows what he's going to do now.
No, just model a little.
Yep.
Pose.
Go around with his personal photographer and
slash
travel the world.
Boyfriend and model in various locales.
That's it.
I mean, that's all he should have been doing in the first place. I didn't want him in a thinking man's job.
No, not at all.
Not him.
No. Maybe he can decorate his whole home in the Downton Abbey theme.
Maybe he can finally have time to watch an episode of Downton Abbey so he knows what theme he's decorating in.
Yeah.
In other news, happy birthday, Obamacare!
It turned 5 this week.
We did it.
Yeah.
Made it. All the repeal votes in the world couldn't stop Obamacare from turning 5.
And we've been talking a lot about great news, but here's some more just to celebrate. It's birthday news.
There's never too much news about Obamacare.
You know how we've been hearing from the Republicans that Obamacare is going to be a giant job killer?
Yes.
Well, we know that is not the case just from the jobs numbers. So,
right.
I mean, we could have disproven that long ago. But not only can we now disprove that it's killing jobs, we have proof that it is creating jobs.
It's doing the exact opposite.
Literally the exact opposite.
They said it would do, which is a classic situation.
Yeah. Because there was a report in Bloomberg this weekend that said, and this is a direct quote, more than 90 new healthcare companies employing as many as 6,200 people have been created in the U.S. since Obamacare became law, a level of entrepreneurial, that's a tough one, activity that participants say may be unprecedented for the industry.
Yeah. Here's what happens. Everyone was required to buy health insurance from a private company, and so a bunch of people suddenly were like, now we got to provide health insurance as a private company.
Started hiring people. There also turned out to be a lot of basically like firms where you can go to basically that they basically kind of like take care of it for you almost, you know?
Yeah, there's like there's a whole industry
like a concierge
of there's a whole industry of like consultants basically that have sprung up around this because signing up is complicated if you don't understand how insurance works.
Right.
So in any case, the bill is just...
It's winning.
A smashing success.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In every possible way.
Yeah.
And these kinds of facts coming out repeatedly, because we report one of them at least once a week.
Every week.
We're not digging for it. No, these are just coming to us.
They're just there. They're in the world.
This is going to make it very difficult to argue that this bill needs to be repealed.
I agree.
For the next 2 years.
Well, they keep everything.
It's getting too late.
Well, it's getting too late. And also, every time that there is, like, some, like, big, like, Republican talking point, it, like, gets shot down. So it's like, you know, like, after a while, when the website wasn't working, it's that not enough people were going to sign up to make it sort of, like, a viable.
And then everyone signed up.
And then everybody signed up. Now we've got this. There's been other examples, basically. Like, every time something gets disproved that they are peddling, they move on to the next thing, and then that gets disproved, and pretty soon they're going to be out.
Yeah. No,
They should be now. They should be officially out.
It's miraculous that they're not out.
That they're still going. I know. Yeah.
They really have stick-to-itiveness on their side.
God bless them.
They're hard workers.
Yeah.
Not hard thinkers, but they are hard workers.
That's right.
There was also a terrible plane crash today.
Oh, my God.
Plane travel is so dangerous seeming to me, a person who's scared of planes.
I was going to say, it's not to me, but this obviously is not great.
No. A German jetliner.
Yeah, called German Wings. Is the name of it. It's the
in one word, too.
One word. It's the budget Lufthansa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Last time I flew Lufthansa, I was not, like, impressed with Lufthansa. I was kind of like,
well,
things are sort of shit. It was like taking a Greyhound bus to Europe.
Neither are the 150 people who died in this plane crash.
It was flying from Barcelona to Dusseldorf.
Yeah, it had a lot of, I think it was mostly Germans and Spaniards.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it was coming from Barcelona.
It was coming from Spain and going to Germany.
So there you go.
That's who would be doing that.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But we don't know yet what happened. It just happened today. They got the black box.
They got the black box. They are sort of, I mean, you're always curious about what happened, but they're sort of, like, extra curious because from the time that they sort of, like, know that the plane started going down to when it actually crashed took 8 minutes, and it was already at a lower altitude anyway. And normally when you drop that far, it should take, like, less than half that amount of time. So they feel like they were obviously, like, trying to somehow, like, get it fixed, but they don't know exactly what happened. They already have the one black box that was from the cockpit, so they'll probably know pretty soon. They recover that fairly quickly. They don't have the other black box that, like, gives them, like, I think that's the one that, like, keep tracks of, like, all the statistics and, like, and things like that or whatever. But, so, not good.
Not good. There were a bunch of high school students.
There were a couple infants. It was like a, I think mostly girls too. It was like German high school students who had like gone to Spain to like do a Spanish study program. So it's always, sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah.
I feel like it's on Tuesday. It's like Tuesday sad. And like on Sunday, I feel like we would have brained through that.
I know.
On Tuesday at 10 o'clock at night, I'm just...
I know. I'm having a moment right now.
Having a moment. Anyway, moving on to things that don't scare me just in general about my future, but scare me about...
Humanity.
Humanity's Florida. Future. More humanity Florida, Florida news. Okay. So...
Start at the beginning.
The Florida Department of Environmental Protection, the DEP... Yes. Under Rick Scott, were asked or ordered not to use, like, incendiary terms in any of their official documents.
Right. Those terms include global warming.
Yes.
You cannot use the term global warming.
You can't use the term global warming because...
Or climate change.
Or climate. Yeah. You can't... because you can't prove that the climate science behind global warming is a true fact.
That's right. So you are literally banned from saying that if you work for the Department of Environmental Protection.
The very agency responsible for...
You would want all of the people to be talking about this thing.
And if there's ever been an agency where you want everyone to believe in climate change, that would be it.
So, and if you thought they were kidding about this, they were not.
No. This was like a rule, and everyone was sort of like, ha-ha, Florida.
Right.
Someone just got in trouble.
It's claimed its first victim.
Yeah.
A person is no longer working right now. Yeah. And not only did he get in trouble, he was at a meeting and taking notes. He was like a coordinator. He was at a meeting taking notes, and the meeting was about climate change.
Right.
But apparently
a meeting about climate change.
But apparently he was supposed to take all of the references about climate change out of his notes.
So that they would be about what?
He handed in his official notes from this meeting about climate change and then is no longer working any longer.
Yeah. And not only that, they made him see a mental health professional.
Right. Because he might be crazy.
Yeah. Because he wouldn't remove a true fact about a conversation that was occurring that he was not a part of.
Right.
Out of the notes that he was
taking for his job.
For his job.
I mean, what?
It is
too crazy. But he's not worked. They haven't let him back to work yet.
No. And no one knows when that or if that will happen.
Nope.
Because The man dared to write that climate change was being discussed at a meeting about climate change.
He didn't even agree. He didn't even declare his love for you know, climate science.
No. He was at a meeting about climate change.
Yeah.
That's what the meeting was about.
Yeah, he was taking notes.
This is like a real, like, Kafka-esque, like,
totally.
Ordeal.
Oh, it is.
Like,
totally.
Being ordered not to say the word that is the topic you're discussing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
Can't say the name of the topic, so everyone has to use... This is how communists ended up using such complicated language for everything, I feel like.
Oh,
you know, everything
could,
in a communist government is like
the
Department
the
of the Glorious, blah, 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 of the state of the... Like, all the titles and all communist governments worldwide go on for miles.
Yeah.
And this is how it happens. Is you stop saying, you stop saying the words of the, you know, the words of the man.
Right.
And then suddenly you don't have any words anymore.
Yeah,
so
you gotta make up words.
You gotta make up words.
Yeah.
And so suddenly you have to say a sentence where there was once a word, and then it's like it just takes off from there. So, in any case, Florida.
Come on.
That's a real news story we just reported to you.
Yeah, that we
wasn't
didn't make that up.
We didn't even make that up.
No.
Meanwhile, more Bristol Palin news.
Oh my God, this is so good. I mean, it's terrifying. It's not that good, actually. But it's... Okay, so we talked about the fact that she's engaged. So her fiancé posted a picture on Facebook, or on Instagram, of him playing with a family member's baby, basically. So in the picture, it's a very cute picture. And I don't even know that I would have noticed, because it was like, I'm not very good at like when the... You know, what's crazy in this picture,
right,
sort of, you know what I mean?
Basically, I'm not trying to scour the background of people's pictures.
It's like he's holding up a baby, the baby's looking at him, they're both smiling.
Right.
And then on the table behind them is a handgun.
A handgun.
It's right there.
And not only is there a handgun right on the table behind them, but someone posted on his Instagram feed, just love the fact that there's a pistol lying on the table between you, behind you.
And his response was, that's just how we roll. Ha
ha. Ha. Hilarious.
So, I fear for the child that comes out of that marriage.
Marriage. Or the child that is being forced into that marriage.
Oh, because she has
a pre-child.
One. Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, come on.
Don't leave guns lying around when you have kids in your house.
Right, and then don't joke it off.
No.
When it's over.
Be horrified.
When you've, be horrified.
That's the right answer, is to be horrified.
Oh, my God. What a freaking moron.
It's, like, ridiculous.
These people.
In final news.
Oh my gosh, this is so good.
Okay, so on Tuesday...
This is another popular story that I was being sent,
by the way, because
it takes place in Iowa.
Right, no one sent it to me,
I know.
But I bet you guys sent it a lot.
I saw it a lot.
Yeah. The Iowa House on Tuesday was having a very long, kind of boring debate about collective bargaining
but
rights
an important
for teachers.
Debate. Like,
an
that's
important
a,
debate.
That's a big one. Like, pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Even if it's boring.
This is,
it's
yeah,
your job.
It's,
well, I go to a lot of boring meetings.
Exactly. It's literally your job. And collective bargaining rights for teachers is one of the sort of, like, areas in which other states are failing us.
They are.
So, in any case, everyone was feeling punchy and bored because they were having to talk about important issues late at night.
Yeah.
So, one of the representatives, Russ Postian, a Republican from Walcott.
Walcott.
A place I've never heard of, but maybe Brent knows about.
I have.
Cracks open a copy of Sex After 60.
True story.
While the Democrats are presenting amendments to the bill, as like a hilarious photo op.
Yeah.
It turns out that it's like this joke gift that they're passing around the house there.
Right.
That is just a book of empty pages.
Right. There's nothing in it. It's a gag gift.
It's a gag gift.
Probably got it at like Spencer's Gifts or something like that.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's tasteful.
It was passed to him by another Republican.
Like, this is what they were doing instead of listening to the Democrats. Like, instead of being respectful to the Democrats as they were speaking.
They were passing around.
They were
a
passing
book.
Around a gag gift called. A blank book called Sex After 60.
Ugh.
Just ew.
So gross. Also, nothing got done in that meeting,
no,
by the way.
They're going to have to resume the debate.
May not shock you to learn.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Surprise, surprise. But ew.
So,
on so many levels.
Yeah.
It's rude. That's an ew.
That's,
It's also just like...
Gross.
Gross.
Nobody's trying to think about whoever this person
Iowa,
is.
Old Iowa Republicans are thinking about sex.
No.
I don't want to ever hear sex tossed into a sentence with those guys ever again. In any case.
Do better, Iowa.
Do better.
At least they're not arresting people for, or firing people for talking about climate
change.
At
least you're allowed to say the word climate science.
Yeah.
In Iowa. People just, they can disagree with you, but they can't arrest you for it.
Right.
Certainly
God.
Can't make you go to a shrink.
No.
In any case, that's the news this week.
That's it.
Next week, maybe we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming. I think we'll finally have done it.
Yeah.
We don't have any... And we're going to the ballet on Saturday.
Oh my God, that's right.
We're going to get to see a ballet, so we'll give you a review of the ballet. The ballet, just which, you were looking which for. Is what you tune into this podcast for.
That's right.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.